You're listening to Band Geek with Richie Castellano on the Riotcast Network. Riotcast.com.
What's up? It's Richie. This is Band Geek episode 9. We recorded this at the end of May. This one features my friend Tony Hansen, who is an accomplished producer and songwriter. This one is an hour and a half of ridiculousness, so I don't want to say anything else. I don't want to spoil it. Yeah, that's it. We got a couple of BOC shows coming up. On July 26th, Blue Oyster Cult will be in Columbus, Ohio at the Ohio State Fair with Bachman Turner and Foghat. So if you're in the area, come down and hang. And then we're going back to Ohio on July 30th for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I'm reading this off the website right now. The Pro Football Hall of Fame Enshrinement Festival. Ribs burn off. What is that? Okay, I don't know. It sounds delicious and fun. So that's Canton, Ohio on July 30th. So if you're in Ohio and you want to see a Blue Oyster Cult show and you want to see your band geeks hanging with BOC, come down and watch us play. I'm a little loopy right now. I just got off the plane. But anyway, it's fitting because this show is freaking ridiculous with Tony Hansen. Stop it. I'll do it again.
That was great.
I'll do it again.
That was great. Leave it.
You're making me do it again.
No, I'm not. I just said stop talking. You talk too much.
Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Band Geek Podcast. I'm Richie Castellano. With me today is my house band, Andy Ascalise. Today on bass.
On bass.
That's right. On acoustical guitar, Anne-Marie Castellano. I can't use your maiden name anymore. That's your professional name. Have you decided?
It's your stage name?
No, it's Castellano, but my... Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. I got you. On vocals and auxiliary... instrumentation?
Acoustic vocals.
acoustical vocals and auxiliary instrumentation. Or are they called ancillary? Okay, whatever it is.
Extra crap.
Yeah, on all the little fiddly winks.
Well, he's a utility person.
Utility,
today.
Yes. Our utility player, Jarrett Pressman.
I'm the Foley artist.
Our,
hitting his stomach, exactly like it.
Hey, Amory's peeking. Yeah.
Do you guys need to be alone?
But we have our special, our one fan of the show, Brandy Metaxas over there. Hi, Brandy.
I really hope
Hello.
Everybody.
What's up, babe?
And our special guest. I want to do a proper introduction for this guest.
Oh, does that mean I have to do something?
No, it means you might want to just get comfortable.
No, I thought you were gonna.
We have a very special guest today. This is a good friend of mine. He was.
In a dark corner, somewhere.
Once in a generation,
comes along a man like
I
never
can't hear. You make him louder in
before.
On the screen. So, do you have enough juice? Here, try talking.
Check. 1, 2.
He's kind of quiet.
I sound
Goose
like
him up a little
Don
bit.
LaFontaine.
Check. He's in your channel.
Give me some bass. Give me some bassy.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
Go again, Andy.
Here you go.
Once in a generation, a talent comes along. More than any other. New and improved.
I don't know what that means. Anyway.
Save us!
Yes. Oh, you can stop. You're distracting me.
That's
not what it is.
Yeah. Tony Hansen is our special guest.
Woo! Yay!
Woo! Tony Hansen has been a friend of mine. How many years have we been friends?
Since 2000.
Really? When did I don't remember meeting you. I just remember
that's
you.
That's AD, not BC.
When did I meet you? Because I don't remember that.
good friend.
Well, I started working at Castellano's House of Music. And then
oh,
I befriended your father. And then we started playing Star Wars Galaxies. And
oh,
then,
don't get you're blowing your wad, man. You gotta hold on to that.
But that's through that is how I met you. That's the story. That's okay. What it is.
And okay. Tony's anyway, playing drums.
We're gonna get what? To it. Oh yeah,
an
Tony is gonna be Tony
show.
Is being Andy today, and he's gonna play the drums. Tony's a very talented musician. You play drums and guitar, right?
Yes.
And what else do you play?
Piano, bass, and I sing.
He sings. Tony owns Phoenix Studios in Staten Island, which is, to my knowledge, the only. You know, large format.
Yes, and soon all over the world.
Which is an SSL room. You have.
Yes.
What model SSL console do you have?
SSL J Series 9000, 72 channels.
Talk as close as you can.
It is an SSL J Series. 72 channels, 9000.
And if you go to phoenixstudios.com, you can check out the studio. If you're in the New York area, you're going to want to go here because he has the microphone collection. He has the gear collection. In fact, if you've ever seen the Shazam video I did with Jules and Danny.
Or the Morning Starlet video.
Or the Morning Starlet video. That's at Tony's studio. But in the Shazam video, you see the control room with the board and you have... every piece of outboard gear you want. I'm going to, since this is the Band Geek podcast, I'm going to gear geek for a second. You have the API preamps. You have the Neve preamps. You have the Pultec EQs, right?
LA-2A, Distresses.
LA-2A, you have an 1176? I think you do.
Yes.
The Yuri one, right?
Yes. We also have a Manly, a Lexicon, the effects games. Units.
Pro Tools HD. You also have analog 2-inch, right?
Yeah, Studer.
Oh, amazing. And he also has a, I guess it's like a B room, which I pretty much based my studio off of, because I remember engineering at your studio, and you had the SSL channel strip,
yes.
You know, rack mountable ones. And every time I engineered there, I said, oh my God, I got to have these. And I bought one, and that's like how I run my studio off that. So that was... that inspired me. But
you're listening to it now.
Yes. You're listening to my voice through it right now.
I have to interject too. You said Phoenix Studios, but it's Phoenix F-E-N-I-X.
Right.
Studios.
It's not in Arizona. It's F-E. And now, where did that come from, Phoenix? Because a lot of what you do is has the Phoenix title.
Well, I started a band back in 1998 called Phoenix Down, spelled the same way. And that's from Final Fantasy. And when I had the studio, I wanted to kind of cross promote, hoping that when I go out, people knew one, they would, you know, learn about the other one.
You might have to become a permanent cast member on the show because of that sentence right there. I started a band based on Final Fantasy.
And then started business based
You might
on that.
Have to be here. All right, one of you guys has got to go because my studio is not big enough.
Well, Phil's not here today.
Phil's not here. Phil's out.
Phil's
fired again. Phil's fired. Phil's like, we have our
He's
running
like
gag.
Kenny
we keep firing and rehiring Philip.
That's good. That's what he does exactly.
But you had
life.
Now, people can see Phoenix Down, right, on YouTube. Is your video on YouTube?
Oh, yeah. We did that video many years ago, but it's still up there, yeah.
But that video was really interesting to me because that's the first, like, high-quality video that anyone I knew did. You know what I mean? Like, when I saw that, it blew me away. I was like, wow, my friend did this, you know, and it looks like it could be on MTV or when they used to play videos.
I've been seeing on your Facebook and stuff that you've been working a lot. Who are you working with now? Because you're like, kind of pimping a bunch of people.
I've done a lot of hip-hop lately. I have a lot of business that comes to me that way. And right now, I just did a song that has Soulja Boy on it.
Wow.
And
I know who that is.
Yeah, it's the first person that I've done that's kind of established already. And that'll be out probably about a month. It's called Legendary.
Actually, no, you know what really
is
impressed me?
Is that a dance, the Soulja Boy?
No.
He does the Superman.
He did the Superman song a long time ago.
Oh, okay. And that had a dance, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, sorry. I'm hip.
I remember...
I'm hip. I'm with it.
Tony's also a very accomplished songwriter. Actually, you're the only one of my friends to have a Billboard Top 100 song.
Yes.
Now, who was that with?
That was with Angelina Bavarnik from Jersey Shore.
Is she hot in person?
Yes.
Or are you going to decline to answer that question?
She's a pretty girl. She's very nice.
You can't see the look he just gave me. Why are you asking me this question? You know what? That's totally impressive. I'm totally envious of you and that you did that. But the most impressive thing that I ever saw that had to do with Tony Hansen was I was watching a Bruce Lee documentary, and the RZA was on it, And he was sitting in Tony's control room. And I was like, oh my God, all my worlds have combined. I was like, I'm sitting here in my underwear watching a Bruce Lee documentary. There's the RZA, who's from Staten Island. Where's he sitting? In my friend's studio. That was the sound of my brain exploding.
Is that really the sound that explodes out of you when you get really excited?
Okay, now, Andy.
No.
Andy also, you might be wondering where these stupid piano sounds are coming from.
They're all coming from me.
Andy's playing bass, but he also, we don't want to spoil the show yet, but he also brought a...
I brought my keyboard for a reason that we'll touch later. Yes.
Show spoiled.
Yeah, show spoiled. Okay.
A keyboard?
Delete.
On a music show? Get out of town.
No keyboard player on the show. We gotta
keep Andy in this corner so he can have his workstation of, like, every instrument. Give him a little hand
Andy's
sonic.
Andy's more talented than me, so he can do this better than me.
Oh, by the way,
that's Andy again on the Spanish guitar. Now, Tony has done all these incredible things, and he's
just looking around of what else I can pick up and make noise.
I got a harmonica in there, but if you touch it, I'll have to give it to you. if he uses my harmonica, I don't want it anymore because it's got cooties. Then, oh, whatever. Okay. Anyway, Tony is, you know, very impressive guy, has all this amazing stuff going on, but Tony's in the music field, you know. You work 7 days a week in the studio like crazy. I'm in the music field, work 7 days a week. So naturally, when we get together to hang out, we don't talk anything about music.
No.
And I think we totally enjoy time together because of that.
Yes.
Now, Tony, this is Tony's coming out, if you will. Because Tony, aside from having a Final Fantasy themed band, sorry, but...
You said you wouldn't do this on the air.
Yeah. You told your parents first, right?
No. I was waiting for tonight.
Tony is also an epic level geek like me and a kindred spirit. And we get together, we play video games, we talk about movies, we talk about comic book characters. And that's why Tony is the perfect candidate to be on the show. But Tony has also inspired the theme for the show today, the musical theme, which is Funny Voices. Because Tony has an amazing talent for doing voice impressions and different voices. In fact, we have a movie that Tony and I did together. It's on YouTube. It's called Tiger's Fang. It's a kung fu comedy series. There's 9 of them. I have some other ones, you know, in the works, but I haven't had any time to finish them. But
will 10 come?
Oh my God, 10. Tiger's Fang 10 is so close to being done, and then Steve got a new job. Steve is my partner on those movies. I got a new job, and
3 years
came
later,
to a halt. Yeah,
it's still sitting there.
So we definitely took advantage of Tony's voice talent in that, and we're gonna hear a little bit from the characters a little bit later. But first, I want to play a song.
Wait, Tony, just a quick question: how did you get so good at doing voices?
I was a very active child, a very active imagination, I would say.
Yeah.
And so every figure always had different voices when I was doing them. And
were you like Lord Helmet?
Yes, I was exactly like Lord Helmet, minus the helmet. But I played Dungeons & Dragons from a very early age.
So whoa. Easy.
I mean, this we game.
Have to, people just shut the podcast off. Next. Yeah, we gotta ease them into this. We gotta get them
I'm
a little.
Sorry.
If they're at episode 7 already, I think they're eased.
I don't want to hit them right up front with the Dungeons and Dragons, because even though we've been very geeky so far, we have to play some music.
Let's play some music.
3 songs ready with funny voices, and that's the theme of the show. Things with us doing funny voices. Do you want to do your song first?
It doesn't make a difference to me.
I think that was
a Facebook request, right?
It was a Facebook request. So, oh, can you go? Can you play like a metal beat? And it's A. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Facebook request. Facebook request. Facebook request.
Oh, you're a natural. You fit right in. Really good.
Phil's out. That's,
I like to play.
Yeah,
Phil's fired.
Andy composed that song.
Really?
It's entitled Facebook requests. So who do we have here? Who's the Facebook request from?
That's a good question. There's I have so one many job. Great, I know. It's so funny. I don't remember how to do things. I don't like you, Richie.
anything.
Just looking here, there's so many great requests.
So many. Okay, this one was requested by our bud Ariel Perez, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago.
We did it in her voice.
And I can't do it in her voice. She sings like Katy Perry, and I can't do Katy Perry's voice.
No, you can.
And Robert Cowley, I don't know who that is.
Okay, so we're going to do this song. This is going to be 500 Moyles, which is...
a Jewish song?
Yes, it's a Jewish rite of passage
song.
About
the great circumcision of 1973.
Good year.
Listen, two of the men in this room have had run-ins with Moyles. I don't want
to... Two?
Not going to blow up spots here.
I think it's fairly obvious.
Yes, it's me and Brandy.
Oh my God. Yeah, Brandy used to date a Moyle. You didn't know that?
No. You said
Brandy, didn't you
didn't
date
say...
a Moyle?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, no,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to pull... This is 500 Miles by the Proclaimers. Let's teach the song. The song has three chords in it. Pretty much. You know, it's got...
And then those other two.
Yeah, it's got some other chords. All right, most of the time... Oh, Amory's going to play acoustic on this to help me out. Most of the time, it's... which is E, like an E power chord, then A, B, E. That's basically it. There's one part in towards the end, like the last verse, when it goes, I'm gonna be coming home to you. That's C sharp minor. Then it goes F sharp minor, B, E. All right. So that's the song. It's so easy. If you got a guitar near you or keyboard or whatever, a bass, pick that shit up and jam along with us.
Can I make a request before we go into this song? Yeah. The theme is we're doing funny voices, right? So Tony would know this from making voices, and I've done it from doing voiceover work and stuff too. You have to sort of change your face sometimes to get certain sounds, and you make kind of like, you know, sometimes it's all the way in the back of your throat, or sometimes it's all the way down here, or something, you know, so please don't look at my face when I'm singing this song.
Look at me! Shut your eyes, Mary! Shut your eyes! Give me a vocal test. I want to make sure you're not peeking.
Oh.
Like, hey!
Hey, hey!
It look okay? Okay.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Give us a derata.
No, no more.
Okay.
No.
Derata! Give me a
it's how you like that.
He says, how do you like that?
Is it how do you like that or da-da-da?
He says, how do you like that? A very thick accent.
No, he doesn't.
Well, me and him are on the same website, and it says da-da-da.
What? So for many years, I was told, it's how do you like that? How do you like that?
No.
I got a bridge I can sell you.
Have you ever seen that book? They had a book series. It was called He's Got the Whole World in His Pants. It was just all misheard songs.
I see Batman on the right.
Yes.
What?
There's
a bathroom on the right. That's a good idea.
Lyrics.
Put that in the bank.
That's in the bank.
You just play this song again.
Yeah.
Medieval woman.
Yeah, medieval woman.
How about that? How about that?
I'm not talking about the linens.
I'm not talking about the linens.
Oh, wait. What's the one from...
Excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Excuse me while I kiss this guy from Greece. It's like, I got shoes. They're made of plywood.
What?
That's true.
Okay, here we go. Give us a tempo that you like, because I know this is kind of fast.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
When I wake up, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who wakes up next to you. When I go out, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. If I get drunk, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who gets drunk next to you. And if I haver, hey, I know I'm gonna be the man who's havering to you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be the man who walks 1,000 miles to fall down at your door. When I'm walking, yes, I know I'm gonna be the man who's working hard for you. And when the money comes in for the work I do, I'll pass almost every penny on to you. When I come home, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who comes back home to you. And if I grow old, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who's grown old with you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be the man who walks 1,000 miles to fall down lonely. Well, I know I'm gonna be the man who's lonely without you. And when I'm dreaming, well, I know I'm gonna dream about the time when I'm with you. When I go out,
when I go,
well, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. And
when I come home,
yes, I know I'm gonna be the man who comes back home with you. I'm gonna be the man who's coming home with you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be the man who walks a thousand miles to fall down at your door. Da 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 da.
No, I was saying it was going one more time.
No, I ran out of lyrics over here.
Oh, God.
That was a really poor cue for one more time, I gotta say.
That was like, okay, here, and I'm looking at him like, yeah, here.
When you point down, that means end.
Yeah. Like, oh.
We're wrapping it up.
You didn't want to end at that sixth chord. I took a bow after that chord. Like the Beatles.
Yes.
I thought you did a good job.
That's a fun song to sing. But you see how, like, when I'm singing, like, my jaw goes, like, really rubbery. It's like, well, but I,
no,
sound like
it's
Shrek
the, ooh,
doing that song.
I'm coming home to you.
We should do it again. I like it.
You become a cartoon character. Like, like, you know when they're chasing the hot lady, like, the wolves are after her, and she's like, yeah. Ooh, that's what you're looking for.
Oh, then they fly in the air.
And their lips are, like, 7 feet.
That's what it is. It's that Roger Rabbit sort of curved up. And then... then it kind of goes into like Scrooge McDuck.
Is this still when I'm on quacking the air?
This is the stuff.
This is the point in every week in the show where they shut it off.
Yeah,
but
you know what? We already got the download, so fuck it. You know what I mean? Now that we got the song out of the way, the request, now I can talk about what I want to.
How much
so
does this podcast cost?
Everybody sit down because I have to address some things. This is going to be the nerd state of the union. And I think that this is a good group to discuss the state of the nerd union.
Yes.
Okay, first, you just mentioned the
Sir,
first thing
I didn't
on my
get
list.
My union card.
Star Wars.
I also have nosebleed.
Why are you standing up still?
I don't
You're
know.
Making me nervous. Sit down.
I'm trying.
Star Wars. Okay.
Ooh.
They're making a new Star Wars, Episode 7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Tony, what do you think of that?
Episode 7. Richie, I'm glad you asked me. I'm actually very excited. I feel anybody will do a better job than George Lucas.
Oh, come on!
Wow.
Sorry, George. Maybe next time.
You know what's funny? This is funny, because I know that Andy can't think of a Star Wars song right now, and he's trying desperately. I'm looking at him, because I know I had the sound.
I have it somewhere.
How's it go?
I got it. Give me a D minor chord. D minor chord. Very nice. It was a G major, but it's okay. I still love you.
Luke.
I'm sorry.
So, okay. Now, I'm in the rare minority of people who liked the prequels. And I'm watching I liked the prequels. I liked all three of them. Maybe episode one not as much as the other one. I disagree with you. You agree with me?
No, I disagree with
you. You disagree.
Not about the sequel.
Yeah, but
the prequels.
Darth Maul,
I like the first
and Qui-Gon
one.
Jinn.
Oh, you like the first one?
Yeah.
Well, no, but I think that... I think the problem with the prequels for me, and we've discussed this, and you can tell me what you think about this.
Yeah.
I think it took Anakin, or took whoever wrote the movie, George Lucas, didn't take him too long. It just he made the third one do all the heavy lifting in terms of making the Hayden Christensen Anakin character that everybody hated into the James Earl Jones character. Like, that should have been a more... I'm not saying he should have turned black over three movies. I'm saying that he should... That's kind of what I'm saying. I'm just saying that from the, you know, the whiny sort of, you know, episode two Anakin to the James Earl Jones Anakin, there should have been more of a smooth transition, not just like one day he's like, oh, you know what? I'm a Sith now. That's how it you was.
Know, I that was a really great I James totally, Earl Jones.
Yeah, you know what? Damn, I'm now. I sound like James.
I totally think he prepares partially for things. And I think that's why you constantly have these problems. If you look at the original trilogy, like obviously there were a lot of things that they kept saying. Oh, they didn't. It seems like he didn't know that Luke and Leia were going to be
right
brother and sister.
Yeah, because he wouldn't have had them kissed then.
Yeah, and then with the original, it seems like he prepared for things. But again, it's always like spur of the moment, like ideas do this. And the third one, Revenge of the Sith. That's why it does so much of the lifting, because he didn't plan properly for it. That's at least what it seems.
He directs like Richie Castellano directs Tiger's Fang. Oh, there it is.
Bazing.
I think he Bazinga. Got to two and well, he realized you know what? How much he has
I'm,
to do.
I'm glad you mentioned that because I have... Wait. I got to stop. I'm glad you mentioned that because right
what
now I've printed out a few scenes for us to do.
Oh, no.
Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie is a voice in Tiger's Fang, so Anne-Marie will be doing her lines as her character.
I will say...
And Tony will be doing his lines as the general.
This is what you were printing before.
So, will you please read the following script your voices from the Tiger's Fang film series?
I don't have those types of sounds.
No, it's okay.
is this from a real scene?
Yes!
Oh, yes, in the first movie.
Don't say anything! God damn it! Get in the character! Get in the character! You're the general. You're general.
But as General So.
You're General So. General So from Tiger's Fang.
This was brilliant.
Conditioning. You there.
Conditioning. Blue. You there.
Now, Anne-Marie, you have to do your voice from Tiger's Fang.
Lord Vader.
Hold on. I got this. Here we go.
You
have your voice?
Yeah.
And action.
Lord Vader, I should have known. Only you could be so bold. The Imperial Senate will not sit for this when they hear you've attacked a diplomatic.
Boss.
Hey.
Don't play games with me. Your Highness. You weren't on any mercy mission this time. You passed directly through a restricted system. Several transmissions were beamed to the ship by rebel spies. I want to know what happened to the plan they sent you.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a member of the Imperial Senate on a diplomatic mission to Alderaan.
You're a part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take her away.
Holding her is dangerous. If word gets out, this could generate sympathy for the rebellion in the Senate.
I have traced the rebel spies to her. Now she's my only lead to find her secret base.
She'll die before she tells you anything.
Please talk to me. Send a distress signal and then inform the Senate that all of them were killed.
I sound a lot like Cookie Monster right now.
Now that we have another scene, because I want to get Anne-Marie, give me your script.
See, it's not Cookie.
All right, I have to get now. Jarrett is also a character. Jarrett plays the voice of Eric Bloom's Iron Master.
Oh, I was going to do
for this scene.
My
other one. We're going to use his voice talent.
What am I reading?
You're going to be the Iron Master in this scene. So can you channel your Iron Master voice?
Jesus
Get it back
Christ.
For a second.
It's different. Okay, wait.
Isn't it like
No, it's
you too. What's your Iron Master voice?
It's my old man.
Your old man.
It kind of sounds like Ben Kenobi.
All right, so do
it. It kind of no, because that's what, it's kind of like all a right. little nasally. It's like I'm just an old man.
Yeah, that's
I don't
it.
Know anything about
all
your.
Right, so try it. Talk right into the mic though.
I'm just an old man.
What happened? Rest easy, son. You had a busy day. You're fortunate. You're still in one piece. Ben Kenobi. Boy, am I glad to see you. The Jundan wastes are not to be traveled lightly. Tell the young Luke, what brings you this far? Oh, this little droid. I think he's searching for his former master. I've never seen such devotion in a droid before. There seems to be no stopping him. He claims to be the property of an Obi-Wan Kenobi. Is he a relative of yours? Do you know what he's talking about?
I want to do this like Alec Guinness. Obi-Wan Kenobi. Obi-Wan.
Okay, this
now that's
not
a
working.
Name I have not heard in
next
a long
scene. Next scene.
Time.
Here we go. We got another scene. Go to tigersfang.com and you'll know what I'm talking about.
Oh. Right, here we go. Well, of course I know these B.
Oh, here we go. Here's a little duet between Tony and Jarrett. Here we go. Hold on, Tony. Get your voice.
You there. Conditioning.
You there.
Wait, where are we?
Conditioning. You there. Balls.
Scene three.
Balls. You there. Conditioning.
Balls. Balls. You have to say balls 20 times to get into the voice.
I have to say balls like 10 times.
Go ahead. Do it. Let's see the balls.
Balls. Balls.
I've been waiting for you, Obi-Wan. We meet again at last. The circle is now complete. Kung Fu noises. When I left you, I was but the learner, but now I am the master. You're only a master of evil, Dad.
Oh,
I was a weak old man. You get wind, huh? If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
Let's end this scene.
Why do you keep cutting me off?
Nuh-uh. You sound nothing like Iron Master. You sound like Iron Master. Else, though.
No, Iron Master is Alakin, just higher pitched.
So that, I guess this gag doesn't work because you based your sound of Alec Guinness, and now it just sounds like a really terrible Alec Guinness impersonation.
You just ruined him, right?
Iron Master.
That's my fucking thing.
Okay, there, I just ruined something for you.
Whatever, I don't have to do that. I was going to do my Vivian voice, but I don't have to do that.
Let's play a song about outer space now.
Oh, okay.
We have to seamlessly transition.
We're going to do a song about outer space now. This is another funny voice song. I'll tell you the chords after.
It's like terrible stand-up.
It's called 500 Miles.
This is terrible stand-up. This is good.
I like Star Wars. About. Speaking of Star Wars, who likes...
Speaking of Star Wars...
Who likes David Bowie?
Here's a song about outer space.
All right. I love that voice.
Oh, we're just starting the song.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Of course I know him, he's me.
Now you can do it, what a dick.
Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom.
Eight. That's not a moon.
Seven. It's no moon. Commencing countdown, engines on.
Sing well, you two.
Reach. Two. Check ignition, that may go slow to be with you. This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade. Papers want to know who shed you where. Now it's time to leave the capsule if you dare. This is Major Tom to ground control. I'm stepping through the door, and I'm floating in the most peculiar way. Stars look very different today. For here am I sitting in a tin can, far above the world. Planet Earth is blue, and there's nothing I can do.
All right.
Outer space.
That was our outer space theme.
Now we're talking about outer space. Let's talk about Lord of the Rings and Batman.
Okay, well, we could.
This is the best segue show ever.
Well, I actually want to talk about...
I want to ask Richie.
Okay.
Richie.
What?
You got a glimpse this week.
I did.
You did.
Oh, wow. I saw a nipple. It was glorious.
Tell us about what you saw this week.
Okay, I've been waiting. So I've been checking. Anybody, you guys know what Zeit is?
Yeah,
you
know, I love Zeit.
Oh, I told you about Zeit, right?
Yes, learned from you. I love it.
Zeit is a content aggregator.
Right, exactly. It's an app which basically polls the internet for blogs and articles that interest you. And I've been searching this app religiously, like four times a day, waiting for a glimpse of the Ben Affleck Batman costume. And I finally got it, and I was so happy. It really exceeded my expectations. Now, the reason it exceeded my expectations is because the costume is 100%, 95% Frank Miller's costume from Dark Knight Returns, which is the fan favorite Batman story.
And they did an update today, though. I'd say it's closer to 90, higher 90s.
Yeah.
Because Kevin Smith tweeted out something that the color of that picture is black and white. But the picture that Zack Snyder showed him was blue. It's dark blue.
He also went on to mention that there might be several costumes in the movie, so that might just be one of them.
Cool.
Oh, wow.
The other thing is that, I mean, I know this is kind of obsessive that I noticed this, but you know, they kind of took the you know how Batman and Superman used to wear the underwear on the outside.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, ever since 2011 with DC Comics and the New 52, which is really quickly, the New 52 is the current era of DC Comics. I mean, there's like the Golden Age, Silver Age, Modern Age, and there's like the New 52.
And they had DC had an event a number of years ago, which like brought the entire DC universe together.
Right.
And then after that event happened, that the Final Crisis, they kind of ran out of stuff to do, so they just decided to universally reboot, start from scratch,
made a mess of their continuity.
Yeah,
and they made this event where I'm like apologizing for nerding out, but that's like the whole purpose of me having this show.
That was the snootiest laugh you've ever made.
Twice, because you caught yourself,
you laughed at yourself, and then you did it again.
You sound like somebody we know.
Right,
well,
continue,
like
I'm sorry. I love you.
There was a event called Flashpoint, and in Flashpoint, anybody who knows, the Flash is a DC Comics character who has red uniform and can run really fast. His mother was killed when he was a child, and he used his powers of speed to go back in time and prevent that from happening. But in doing so, he screwed up the whole timeline. So,
A time travel story that ends in disarray?
Right, exactly. Ends in chaos. So what he had to do is...
It's unusual as a comic book character whose parents met an untimely demise.
Well,
Batman hotel.
He actually... It's funny that you mentioned that, because in Flashpoint, what happens is he finds Batman, but Batman is actually Batman's dad. Because in this timeline, Bruce Wayne died and his father Thomas became Batman.
Oh,
and he was kind of like a messed up Batman. I'm sorry, heavy duty spoiler alert. If you listen this far, I apologize. Like, fast forward a little bit because I'm going to tell the end of the story. But so he realizes he can't, this timeline sucks. And even though his mother's alive, this timeline, he ruined everything. Like, the universe is in disarray. So he goes back in time to prevent himself from doing that originally, you know, the whole paradox thing. But by doing so, he doesn't exactly restore the universe to the way it was before. And what happened is somehow Batman and Superman no longer had underwear on the outside of their costumes. So,
what?
And he must have like stepped on a blade of grass or a butterfly, and that all of a sudden one day when Batman and Superman were like, "I'm going to build a costume," like, and where in the past they're like, "Wow, that underwear on the outside looks badass." This time they're like, "Wow, that's why would you wear underwear on the outside? You put it on the inside." So now
underwear.
Yeah.
Protect my balls.
Yeah.
Take my balls.
And then DC realized after the underwear continuity problem they were having.
Exactly.
They took all 53 of their characters. Right.
They did.
And
they started
from scratch.
We have to redo all.
And they said, some of them are wearing underwear and some of them aren't wearing underwear. So we got to have them all not wearing underwear so it all makes sense.
Right. So
I'm sorry,
that was the only. So my long point is that was the only.
Because when you wear your underwear outside of your pants, your tights, you're a superhero. But when you wear them underneath your tights, you're just a ballet dancer. Right?
I'm sorry. Yeah, you, so. Were we talking about outer space?
No, no, no. the point I'm making is that the only difference between the new Ben Affleck Batman costume and
underpants.
The Frank Miller one is that he's not wearing underwear on the outside of his costume because DC forbids it. Because the Flash ruined it. Right?
Well, yes.
That's, everybody understand that? Everybody follow me?
You answered so like Obi-Wan.
Have you seen any of the...
Now you can do a good Obi-Wan voice.
What a dick.
Too soon.
Look, I am not Phil, okay? I am not a punching bag for this
show. Have you seen all the sad Batman memes?
Oh
my God.
So funny.
It's not funny. It's not funny.
Let me tell you the story of the first sad Batman meme I showed him. Right? So we're about to go to bed, and I'm looking, and I see sad Batman standing in, I think it was Dio's grave or something. And it's sad Batman standing in front of Dio's grave, and it's sad Batman on the side. And Richie smiles for a second. He goes, I don't like it. I don't like it. It's disgraceful. And then I showed up, like, but it's so funny. Look, it's Batman, and he's sad because he looks so sad.
I posted something today. At this point, the movie's 2 years out. Every little crumb of information he releases is going to get shit on by bloggers everywhere. Oh, look at those ears. They're too small. This movie's going to be horrible. Or look at the way he's standing. This movie's going to suck. The movie hasn't begun yet.
Are people really like upset about this? Because all the nonsense I've been reading on Facebook has been super positive as far as like...
Oh, forget it. Today they announced the title. Batman.
What?
Today they announced the title of the movie.
What is it?
It's called Batman v. Superman.
Dawn of Justice.
And people are like, this is the problem with superhero movies. This movie...
Why wouldn't you want a Justice League movie? What the fuck is wrong?
I don't understand. I don't understand.
God.
We've been talking about this.
I'm
right?
sorry.
I just hope I'm alive to see the... I hope I don't like get into a car accident.
What was your early suggestion about the title of the movie? Did you show me upstairs?
My friend Ray texted me. He goes, I don't know about this title, man. I'm like, what's wrong? He goes, it should be Man of Steel 2. I said, no, it should be Batman with special guests.
Batman presents Batman.
Batman and these other assholes. That's the name of the movie should be.
Written by Batman.
But Jared, you made a good point because
it's the Batman variety hour.
Yeah. You made a good point that.
Meanwhile,
everybody's is waiting for Zach
at the Legion of Doom
Hall of Batman.
Meanwhile,
that
voice
all
you did. Okay, let's do the Star Wars scene again, and you can do that voice this time.
My Ted Knight.
That's Ted Knight.
Ted Knight did that.
Get out of here.
He did it. He did it, and then
Ted Black Knight.
No, he didn't do it originally, but he took over. I forget. But that's totally Ted Knight.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Is he the same guy who does the Clone War introductions? Crisis on Geonosis.
No.
Meanwhile, the whole justice.
I know. Andy and Muff are looking at me in horror right now because this is the nerdiest show we've done so far.
I don't care.
I think this is the best show we've done so far.
Wait, I'm.
Richie is very happy.
I'm sorry.
I asked you the question. I wanted to know what you thought about it.
Okay, fine.
Wait a second. Your question. Wait, you're saying that I would be upset talking about nerdy things?
Well, that's good, but I thought maybe you wanted to compartmentalize that from the podcast, but I want to go head on into
No, are you out of your mind?
Okay.
The man owns a hoverboard. Relax.
He does own a hoverboard.
A proton pack.
More than one hoverboard.
Who owns a hoverboard?
I was shopping for
He-Man belt buckles before the show today.
Oh, you too?
Are we whipping out our nerd dicks right now?
Yeah, but I wear my underwear on the outside.
I own the Buster Sword.
My Batman wears his underwear on the outside.
You do own the Buster Sword.
Yes, given to me by all of you.
That's right.
What were you going to say? You said I brought up a good point, and then
stopped.
Tell him.
Everybody is you know, jumping to conclusions and shitting on Zack Snyder and the movie's 2 years away. They've seen, and you know, wait for the movie, but Jarrett, you made a really good point saying, if you've seen other Zack Snyder movies, like 300... or Sucker Punch, which wasn't that good, but or even Watchmen, right? Mm-hmm. The action is so, like, you know, over the top and amazing that we're finally going to see the Batman, you know, jumping up in the air with his, like, knees up, throwing
the two batarangs and flipping
around. Mm-hmm. Like, we've never seen that in a movie. It's all very, like, practical.
It's all
you know
very
what I mean?
Practical.
Or it's all gadget-based.
And judging by the title, we're going to see Batman fight Superman.
Yeah, but so, and, but like, you know what I mean? Like, we'll we're going to see, I want to see.
We're going to see him. They're going to see.
They're going to V.
Like, after aren't you excited
that,
to see?
No, but after that Superman Zod battle, it's like, oh my God, but what if that was Batman? Oh my God. Oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah. Aren't, like, I want to be like, hello, internet. Aren't you excited to see what Zack Snyder is going to do with Batman? Like, I am. There's I don't know. I'm just a fanboy, I guess.
No, you were right. And I have a very specific image. It's that image where Batman's in jumping up in the air in that sort of Spider-Man crouch position, yep. And two batarangs are flying off in opposite directions.
Right.
And you're going to see him jumping around all over the place. The thing I compared it to was the Justice League Unlimited cartoon when all of them were fighting Darkseid.
Yeah.
And he was jumping around, like, avoiding the Omega. Like, that's... Oh, God, it's going to be so cool.
He made Owlman look cool. He'll make this look good.
He could make washing dishes.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I think he kind of knows where it's at. He knows what to do, how to do it. We've had a lot of Batman movies, a lot of superhero movies, and people are starting to really know exactly what they want. Because years ago, they just did whatever they were going to do, like the old Batmans.
Yeah. Well, that there was a whole thing in Hollywood that we're just starting to get past where it's like, oh, we're not doing the comic book stories. Like, oh, that's beneath us. We're not making the characters look like the comic book characters. We're not going to have them do the same things. We're going to invent new characters. Like, you know, like the X-Men did that. Like, Bryan Singer is like the biggest, you know, he's guilty of that.
Perpetrator.
And other things.
Yeah.
But,
Oof,
I'm topical.
we're belated.
No, I'm sorry.
Topical.
I'm sure Bryan Singer is a very talented director. I like The Usual Suspects, but I hated what he did with Superman. And I hated what he did with most of the Marvel movies that he did.
Oh, Superman Returns. Are you talking about Superman Returns?
What? Who's Owlman?
Night Owl. Owlman. I call him Owlman.
What is Owlman?
Owlman. See, that's what I'm talking about. Bryan Singer invented Owlman. It's one of them characters he added to the X-Men.
This whole time, I've been sitting here in the back of my head.
Who is that Owlman?
I'm always watching. I can turn my neck all the way around.
That's it. I really said Owlman?
Yeah. Yes. No, seriously, this whole time, I've been sitting in this chair like, is he a dummy or am I that I don't know who Owlman is?
You don't know
is?
Fucking Owlman? Oh, get out of here.
How's that theme song go again for Owlman?
Owlman, Owlman. Who the fuck is Owlman?
Do what an owl does. Does an what owl? You like is not important. Owlman.
Does an owl say
goes,
who or hoot?
Who are you? Owlman, Owlman.
Anne-Marie and I have had this conversation before.
Owlman, Owlman.
Who the fuck are
who?
Yeah, that's good.
That's hoot, the hoot, theme song. Hoot, hoot.
Yeah, that's a mean Anne.
Yeah, put that key on.
Anne-Marie and I have had that conversation. Does the owl say who or hoot?
Hoot.
Oh,
the owl says who.
Can I ask you a question, Jack? Wait, it goes like this. It goes like this. Woo-hoo. That's what it sounds like.
These are the things the rooster says.
We should see who can make up the worst
the
superhero
cow says,
ever.
Shazoo.
I think I just won. I think I just won that competition.
Why are you maneuvering my microphone?
Actually, there was a thing a Facebook friend of mine posted saying, pick the color of the shirt you're wearing and the item directly to your right, and that's your superhero name.
Black tape.
White snare.
Your white snare. That's a pretty bad superhero.
What do I do?
Are you in snare people? You slow them down.
I'm going to get you.
You're about to commit a crime. Let me slow you down until a more powerful superhero arrives.
That's practical.
I'm not gray iPad, Amory. I'm gray slide whistle.
I'm black muff.
Wow.
No one say anything.
I am not a thing.
I want to see that
Richie
movie
wins.
From the 70s.
Black muff.
Black muff. Andy, what are you right now?
I am black watch.
He's the Black Keys.
Black Keys.
It is.
I am Black Keys.
Amory, what are you?
I am Black Tape.
Black Tape. And Brandy?
I don't know.
Black I'm Light. Black Light
wall.
Switch.
I'm Captain America. Wall.
I'm wearing a blue shirt today. For like the only time in like the last 10 months, I'm not wearing a black shirt.
She's wearing
a Captain America shirt.
I'm wearing Captain America. It was shirt. Destiny. That's not a color.
Why is everybody wearing black and gray? We are
that's
depressed
color,
people.
That's America.
Because it's radio, it's not television. Yeah.
America.
We're from New York.
So I'm sorry.
We're going to a Broadway show.
I'm sorry, we were talking about outer space?
I seriously don't remember what I was talking about, though.
500 miles.
Saturn.
I distracted you with the Batman.
No,
you didn't distract me.
Batman
I'll talk about
we
Batman
about.
For 2 more hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway. Oh, all right.
True story, bro.
So, yeah, but there was this whole thing in Hollywood where it wasn't cool to do what the comics did. And now we're finally getting over that. But people are saying that, oh, this movie's going to suck because it's going to be too crowded. I don't get that.
It could be too crowded. Think about Spider-Man. Was it 3 where they had the Sandman? They had...
yeah, but who gives a shit about Sandman?
Exactly.
It's like, this is exactly Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. It's like, I give many shits about all those guys.
They have to be careful. If they're going to introduce all of them into the same movie, they got to be careful.
Everyone liked the Avengers. DC will figure out a way
But people just need to swallow that pill that this is now a Justice League movie. That's what it is. This is the beginning of it all.
It's the dawn of it. That's the name of the title.
Unless they can put everyone in a way that I can't foresee, they kind of should. Sometimes it's good to put one character in, put the other people in the background, make them part of the story, but not a main part.
But there's a difference between the way Marvel set it up and the way DC's doing it. Like, they can't just copy them, and, you know, Marvel got it right. Good for them. Applause for them. They're making billions of dollars. But the coolest part of the Avengers was when, you know, Captain America's throwing his shield, and all of a sudden the camera turns, and Iron Man's flying by, and then the Hulk punches somebody in the air.
Oh, yeah.
So you want to see Superman using his X-ray vision, his heat vision, and then Batman throwing a batarang, and then Wonder Woman lassoing somebody around the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just all the worry is how are they going to bring it in slowly? It's like we just talked about with Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to say this. This is going to sound terrible. I'm going to get a lot of shit for this. I don't really give a shit what the plot is. I want to see all of them on screen fighting like hordes of bad guys or one gigantic bad guy.
You want them all standing together to with the 360 shot. Yeah.
I want them to get to that moment as quickly as possible.
Some Hans Zimmer music going.
Which is a true nerd way to do it. Blow your load in the beginning and then apologize for it later.
I'm so sorry.
It never happens.
So how would you feel if they open the movie and Superman meets the Hall of Justice with everybody all there already? Done.
I don't like that.
Is that too fast?
No, that's way too fast.
You got Amber me, Tony.
Richie's gonna be
Tony
this.
Got me.
That's what you wanted.
Well, Tony, you have a gift for showing things in a different light like that. Like, because I'll take a position and you'd be like, but what if this happened? And I'd be like, you're right.
That's my job, Richie.
Well,
as long as they bring in the Wonder Twins, it'll be fine.
I think we've crossed the boundary of geekiness in the show, and I think it's time to take it a step further. Okay, so now when I was a kid, when I was a little kid,
do you want some music?
Not yet. You get ready though. When I was a kid,
Richie's kid story has to be boop, 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 boop.
Not yet, Andy. I had a couple friends, you know, who lived next door to me, and they said, "Hey, there's this game that everybody's playing." Called Dungeons and Dragons, and it sounded so sexy. Think about it. Dungeons and Dragons, like, and at that time, I think that was like the late 80s, everybody's talking about it like, oh, there's satanic cults playing this game.
Well, the cool kid in Freaks and Geeks plays that,
right?
Plays with them at the end. Spoiler alert.
So we got the game.
Spoiler alert for it.
Yeah.
I watched
it. Anybody...
Spoiler alert for the show off the air.
That's actually the one punchline to the whole series that you just gave up in one sentence. Now people don't have to watch that at all.
For the series that's been off the air for like 14 years.
You should call this show Spoiler.
Yeah, Spoiler Alert with Tony Hansen. That's your podcast.
Want to say something?
I'm crying.
Every one sentence managed to ruin like 15 episodes.
In Star Trek, the Borg attack.
Yeah.
They go back to World
Superman
War II.
Superman returns. He only hits somebody once.
Yeah. No, he doesn't hit anybody.
He doesn't hit anybody ever.
He doesn't throw one fucking punch in that goddamn movie.
He cries and stalks people.
That movie is about property. It's a really real poor movie about property.
Real estate. It's all about real estate.
Superman 1. I'm sorry. No. Tony brought up an important
location,
topic.
Location, location, location.
Exactly.
Superman 1, real estate. Superman 2, real estate. The reboot of Superman, real estate. Lex Luthor's like a Midwest car salesman. Like, you gotta buy land.
Well, but The Man of Steel is also about real estate.
It is.
Who do you bring in when you have a real estate problem? Superman. Yeah. He's like, this is from his eyes. Real estate, no problem.
my planet blew up. I kind of need yours now. Well, what's it going to cost?
Superman.
What's the wheel and deal here?
Superman has a business card with his picture in the corner like a real estate agent.
Actually, you know what? If they're rebooting, why don't they make him a realtor? What's up with the newspaper reporter? You know, Clark Kent realtor.
Now that I think about it.
Problems? I see through problems.
I see through problems.
I see through problems. Now that I think about it, all the Superman movies are him just fighting businessmen.
Wonder why he wins all the time.
Lex Luthor in the first two, Richard Pryor and the other business guy in the third movie, then Lex Luthor in the fourth one, and then Lex Luthor.
You know the Superman stance with his hands on his hips with the flag in the back? I can sell your house.
There has to be a sold sign in the back.
It's his face on a bus bench.
That's like what we were talking about before about Batman. It's like back in the day, they didn't know what to do with Superman Batman. They were just like, here's the script. It's great. Awesome. And it wasn't.
Oh god, what the fuck was I talking about? Oh,
right, I don't know. Okay. I need to LLC Superman Realty.
Right. You do.
You were telling us about how you encountered Dungeons and Dragons for the
first
time.
So we were like, you know, 8 or 9, and someone got the Dungeons Master source book. And the problem is, it's not really a game for little kids because it's got a lot of math in it. It's very complicated, especially as a first time player. You really need like an older kid to teach you how to do it, and we didn't have that. So we got it. We tried to play. We didn't know what we were doing. Wasn't fun. We put it down. A few years later, junior high school, lunchtime, there was this kid who knew how to play a little bit. And the way he played was you enter a cave. There's a guy in front of you. He says he wants to kill you. Oh, can I swing at him? Yes. and that's what it was like. And so there was no, it was very removed from what the action, and it wasn't really, you know, I didn't get a feel for the game still, so I didn't play again. Then fast forward to my adult age, I meet Tony Hansen and I find out about the secret society he has of nerds who all have girlfriends, which I was like, what is going on here with you and your friends? He goes, what do you mean? I was like, you're all like hardcore fucking geek, the geekiest nerds I've ever seen, and you all have attractive girlfriends, every one of you. And to him, he was like, I don't understand. This is just how it is, you know. And I realized that the way he does it is he keeps it like a secret, and then starts to like, you know, like you warm them up
he
to it.
Well, his nerdy
every
secret.
every girlfriend that I've dated over the years while I was playing, I wouldn't tell them up front. And I would tell him, I'm going over to my friend's house on Sunday, just going to hang out, you know, like that. And then one time, as one girlfriend I had, we were in the park, actually, and I was like, I'm thinking about it. I got to tell her. I really got to tell her.
It's like telling her, like, you know, I have a gonorrhea.
Listen to her response. So I go up to her. I'm like, listen, I sit her down. I go, something I have to tell you.
I sat her down.
I love this story.
You know how every Sunday I go over to my friend's house? And she's like, yeah.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm like, well,
I've been sucking his dick.
But wait. So I go, well, we don't actually, you know, we don't actually watch the game or do anything I was saying we don't. She's like, so she laughs. She's like, what do you do? Are you fucking each other? I go, no. It's much different than that. I go, we play Dungeons and Dragons. I'm like, do you know what that is? And she's like, no, not really. I was like, oh, it's a really cool game where it's like a board game. Imagine a board game that you might play. Like, what's your favorite board game? You know, I don't know, Monopoly or something like that. Well, it's like Monopoly, except I make up Monopoly as you go. I'm like the guy with the hat and the monocle.
What's his name, Jared?
The Monopoly guy.
Mr. Monopoly.
Is it?
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
Do not pass. So that
was. I'm sorry. Was that uneventful? James Costington.
It was James.
Okay.
So. Okay. So when I met Tony and all of his friends, and I'm seeing, okay, normal guys, you know what I mean? Like you guys don't look nerdy, any of your friends. You don't. You're like normal looking guys.
I never thought about it.
You know what I mean? And they all have girls with them, and I sit down at the table, and we're at Tony's studio, and it's the first time I'm playing Dungeons and Dragons in maybe 10 years, and
was it the studio?
Really? It was at the studio. You had like a Sunday, like one day tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And now, I never had a real understanding of Dungeons & Dragons because the two times I tried to play it, I didn't have good, what they call a dungeon master, who is the guy who runs the game. So Tony runs the game and he does a scenario. He goes, okay, you're at a tavern and you hear, you know, that there's a loot player and you know, he describes, he sets a whole scene, which was really good, and for the first time that I've ever really played, I had a good, you know, internal picture of what was happening. I thought, oh, this is kind of cool. And his friend Dan, he goes, okay, you walk up to him. Your name is like Lord Chesterfield or something, whatever
it
was.
He was the Bergenmaster.
Oh, what?
He was the Bergenmaster.
Oh, Bergenmaster. Yeah, I remember. And he comes up to you. And now the way I used to play was, okay, I say, I tell him this. And Tony goes, no, that's not how we play. I'm like, oh, what do you mean? And then all of a sudden his friend Dan comes up and he goes, you there! I hear you're good with a blade! You know what I mean? And I'm like, Tony? What? He goes, oh yeah, you have to role play with him. I'm like, yes, I am good with the blade! And he's like, no, you have to do your own voice. That's his voice. And I'm like,
you're good with
that's creepy man voice.
I'm not wearing hockey pants. No, I don't know. Hello, I don't know what I... So I...
Where's the trigger?
So
Marvin,
I...
you wouldn't give it to an audition.
So I was totally taken aback, and I... Just to see these, like, normal guys... You know what I mean? Who you'd expect to see, like, sitting
in the
on a couch.
Store.
What, like, you know, or sitting on a couch watching a football game. Yeah. Like, just
doing
sitting there
voices.
Going, so I hear you have the skills I require for a special quest. You know, and they're loud. And another friend comes in with another voice. You know, I'm the dwarf, and I think that my people's... And they're doing this whole thing, and I'm like, holy shit. Right? And Tony was like, after that, he was like, did you like it? I was like, no. He goes, why? He goes, it was fucking weird. It's like all your friends, they put these voices on, and they're looking at me, and they're yelling at me, and then you're fighting, right? You're fighting, and they start getting into it. They're like, I will strike you down with the force of 1,000 gods, and they're like, and they're fucking, and they're into it. But the thing that's funny about Tony and his friends when they play is that they curse in the middle of it. They're like, you motherfucker, I will take my great axe and shove it up your ass, right? And like, so am I right?
Yeah, yeah.
You guys all like it, it's not like they don't stick to the vocabulary of medieval
right,
England.
Right.
They go
this,
in,
this thus the
yeah. I will shove thine blade up your of your bunghole.
Thine arse.
But I couldn't get into it. But then Tony, we found a loophole. Tony said we've all found this Star Wars D&D type of game, which is made by the company Wizards, who made Dungeons and Dragons. It was the exact same rules, but Star Wars. So I showed Tony the book, and he goes, this is D&D, man. This is Dungeons & Dragons 3.5, but with Star Wars characters.
Yeah, a couple of different things. But
yeah. So we played that, and I was down for that. Because I can't role play like a fantasy setting.
They could do your Obi-Wan
But he was
Kenobi.
Like, he, Tony goes, you know, so
no,
when I was
fuck
having
Richie's
this,
Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's fucking terrible.
Richie then wrote the story that he wanted to play, by the way.
I said, okay, this is what you're going to do.
It's exactly what he did. It's exactly what he did. He goes, we're going to be in a clan of the Dark Suns, and this happens, and this is going to happen, and I play this character. I'm like, okay.
But now, moral of the story, Richie, you're like, you love role-playing. It's
I love it.
Thing.
I love it. Because as soon as it was Star Wars, I was like...
Really, does he?
I'm here looking for some Jedi Knights.
not
these
like
aren't the droids you're
TMI.
Looking for. You know, I got right into it, and it was all of our friends, and we had so many great times. And Tony is such a great storyteller that he does every voice for every character. I was thinking, maybe you can give us a quick example, because a lot of people, even though I'm trying to describe it, don't understand what Dungeons & Dragons is. Now, you're the best Dungeon Master I've ever played with, or
Thank
Game
you.
Master, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Thank you.
And you really do a great job. And I mean, people have seen it now on Big Bang Theory, you know what I mean? Like, they did a little bit of it. But I think we should maybe strip it down to something really simple, like a simple encounter, just so you could show the mechanic of it. And can you do something like that, like really quickly?
Yeah, I can.
I'll edit this for time if I have to. There's paper and pens over there.
Okay.
Oh, over there. There they are. They're right by the Dungeon Master.
Under the stop in the
yeah.
game.
Of- now, while we're yeah. doing this, Andy brought his keyboard today because he's going to live score this.
Well, Tony usually play, you have like a soundtrack going on usually
yeah,
sometimes.
True.
Yeah, I always put a soundtrack underneath.
There you go.
So, yeah, if you know, if you could...
I'll do it.
If you do it, he'll hire you to come to his house on Sundays.
I definitely would. It would be worth it.
Tony just got a new house, and if I know him, he'll like install a pipe organ just so you can play it for his Dungeons & Dragons session.
Oh, man. Wait to see the basement when it's done. we could probably, I mean, to speed this up, we can do it without really the characters.
Okay.
Because...
We should roll some dice, though, because that's
yes.
like a big part of it.
Yeah, yeah, we'll still roll the dice. We'll,
so everybody will be the same stat, pretty much.
You could be warriors just to kind of
okay.
play it through.
So... I'm going to let you take the lead here. This is the Tony Hansen Dungeon Master show.
Yes.
Take us back to DDO. The good days.
We begin the game in the tavern of the Kingdom of Arras.
Can you make his mic louder?
Check, check. Checking the mic, I'm checking the mic. I'm checking the mic.
There we go. Okay.
You and your party gather at the tavern for drinks. You're hoping that there will be some jobs today because you are quickly running out of coin. You look around. The tavern is bustling with activity today.
All right, good to see you right here.
Hey, Adam.
Here's your chance to be a Foley artist.
Slap your tummy.
So if you're a Foley artist, you're going to slap your belly the whole time?
I got one Foley, and it's my belly.
I'm sorry, I only do Axel Foley.
Wow. Suddenly, the town crier comes in.
His Majesty seeks experienced adventures for a quest of great bravery. His daughter, the princess of the Kingdom of Arras, has been reported to be held captive in the dark castle to the north.
Cue music. For dark castle. Yes, that's right. You heard correctly. The Dark Castle to the north. For those that retrieve the princess safely will be rewarded each 100 gold coins. To accept this quest, please meet at the main hall at the city center.
This is amazing.
The town crier then leaves, and you're back in the tavern. You look around. Everyone seems to be startled. 100 coins, you hear. That sounds like a lot of money. Many people start leaving. This is a job that is higher than any amount ever seen before on the face of Arras.
It sounds like we're in a tavern on Firefly.
Ding, dang, ding, do, dang. Now, adventurers, I, the DM, ask you, what do you want to do?
Are we in-game or out-of-game?
In-game. You may roleplay with each other.
Okay.
When we say in-game, out-of-game, that means we're talking either in our game voices or we're trying to figure out what's going on. For you laymen.
I just came from 500 miles away.
Wow.
The whole time.
Jared explained to me that's called a callback.
Right? Yes.
I'm learning comedy.
Oh, yeah. Well.
I don't know. I think, don't trust the government.
What?
Who am I talking to, by the way?
You're also... You're all sitting at a table, you're all friends, you're all party adventurers, okay. And you're just talking and drinking.
Bollocks! 100 gold. They'll never pay us.
I think we should try. What do you think, Olivia?
Is that your name?
I'm in, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I think that if we don't go on this quest, I don't know what else we're going to do today. So let's go.
I'm trying to match her sex voice.
Sex voice plus 2, Emery has.
I plus reckon it might be fun. I'm here on vacation.
I'm from
Kalamazoo.
This is definitely the best role playing I've ever seen.
When are you coming to Tamriel? So that's it, 4 of us. I.
Andy's not playing?
What? He can't play. He's being Hans Zimmer over there in the corner.
I'm in.
He's zimmering.
Or Howard Shore.
Let him zimmer for a while.
Howard Unsure.
Okay.
All right.
So you've all made the agreement to join the quest. Yes. As the DM moves the story along.
Wait. That's the turn the page sound.
Wait.
You journey through the streets of the town. Through the town, you can see many people slapping their chest and hitting their tummy. This town is known for its belly flappers all across the land.
Are we galloping away on horses?
Wait, I'm sorry. Here we go. Ready?
A horse passes.
What the hell is that?
You walk through the streets.
I
think he's having an asthma attack. Help him.
And you can't see this, but Andy's bouncing up and down right now playing keyboards.
Ride,
he looks
ride.
Like Ian Anderson from Death Hotel. Where's your flute, man?
I'm sorry, I forgot it.
You walk through the streets on the way to the main hall. On the way, you must pass through the bazaar.
Ooh.
Fish for sale.
Many people are selling their wares in the bazaar, from spices to fine garments to odds and ends.
Magic lamp for sale.
I have nothing. I have nothing for sale.
We're in various regions of the world in this market.
Plumbing! Pump the shit right out of your house!
It's the new invention. It's called a centerfold.
Angel, it's a centerfold.
I think we're just having more fun sitting in the room.
Ye angel is ye centerfold. Okay, so you finally exit the bazaar. How bizarre.
No one's ever going to play Dungeons and Dragons if they hear this.
Wait.
How bizarre.
Did we need to buy anything at the bazaar?
No, like no. Because that would take too long. Too long for audio.
Okay, going on.
There's too much negotiation.
Finally, you exit the bazaar and walk up to the Grand Hall, the mighty keep of this great, noble land of Arris.
Oh, the Grand Prospect
Hall. This is great.
We make your dreams come true.
You walk through the great... marble columns everywhere. Marble columns.
Tony, I'm going to sell you Andy's keyboard track for like $20 after this so you can use it for your own...
Oh my God, Andy, I want you to be with me on every time.
He's got it, whenever you...
Oh my God,
that's
I'll
lie.
Pay
that's
you.
A lie, by the way.
That's what everyone says to Andy.
You walk through the great halls. There in the center of the hall, you see the speaker of the mighty king of the land. He sits there ruling over all in justice and in peace. But now you are here for a much greater purpose. For the king's daughter, the princess, has been kidnapped by the evil Eldric of the Dark Castle. He calls out. Who will answer this call for aid? What adventurer will stand up and fight this evil this day?
I.
Yahoo!
So be it.
Yosemite Sam.
I see four adventurers.
Tarnation! Fire in my hair!
I see one southerner. And three other guys who look like they're ready for a quest. So I ask you three questions to see if you are ready for such a task. The first question. Heroes, what is your name?
I forgot. You can call me Jerry.
Jerry!
But that's not your name!
DM note, the player has picked a third name.
The king, he gave the king an alias. So just serves him 1099 him.
Just in case. 100 gold coins, you know what that is on tax? It's Jerry Smith.
Wait, this is the most awesome game ever.
I wonder if this is going to be funny for everybody else.
I don't know. I'm going to have to cut this all out.
Honestly, I don't think so. I don't think so.
What is your name?
I go by the name of Beck.
A fine name. Wizard, what is
Jeff
your name?
Beck.
My name is Evelyn.
The wizard Evelyn. Noted. And what is your name, Archer?
I am Olivia Everdeen, but my friends call me Legolas.
I don't care what your friends call you, but thank you for coming this day.
They call me lots of leg.
Now, my next question for you. I need to know, what have you done? What monsters have you slain? Jerry, tell me, what monsters have you slain?
A bull.
Was it a big bull, Jerry?
All bulls are big. Otherwise, they're cows.
Good, Jerry. This will be a lot like that, but different.
No one can see me, but every time I talk, I do that motion with your arm where you go, shoot, that weird sort of curvy arm.
That's good, Jerry. Beck, what monsters have you slain? What deeds have you done that make you worthy of this quest?
Slaying ain't what I do. Stealing. Sounds like you need your daughter stealed back.
Yes. Your English is amazing.
I do need her to steal.
Yes, I am from London.
you have an excellent grammar structure.
Wizard Evelyn, what makes you qualified? What have you done? What great deeds have you done?
I have slain the cave troll of the Southern Passage.
Oh, she just beat me. Fuck.
I've also tamed the Serpent of the North.
Tamed how?
By stroking it ever so gently.
Do you use your sex voice plus two?
I do.
I hear it's very powerful. Archer. Olivia. Or Legolas. Legolas, come here.
God, well done.
It's under another master.
I have a
southern accent for two lines in the whole trilogy. Anyway. Legolas. What have you done besides be a hero of the ring?
It's not really I have shot many squirrels.
You've shot many squirrels.
But
that's
only
a crime in this
But
in this
only
kingdom.
In the eye.
Take her away.
Gods, take that one away and replace it with somebody else. Wait. Nope. I like the way she holds that bow. Let's take it.
They're good in
very
a stew.
Very taut, like a toy gun. Now, finally, the third question and the most important question. What? Is your favorite color? Jerry, what is it? I must know.
Brown. Because where I come from, if you poop regularly, it's a good thing.
Excellent. You are wise, Jerry. Very wise. I would recommend you for my counsel if you return. Beck, what is your favorite color?
Pink.
Pink. It's like pink.
It's like pancakes. It's pink.
It's like pink pancakes. I like you, Jerry. You're creative. I like you, Beck. You're creative. Creative guy. Evelyn, what is your favorite color?
Black.
Black like your soul?
Like the night.
Like who? The dark? You're 2 feet away from me and I can't hear you. Even with a headset and a microphone. Black like what?
Disappeared.
What are you black like?
The night.
Oh, the night.
Like the Bronx.
But he is Southern.
Moving on.
No, that wasn't my character. That was out of game.
Oh, God.
Now I'm in game. Like the Bronx.
Olivia. What is your favorite color?
As I am an archer, my favorite color can only
don't
be
say green.
Green.
Damn it.
I'm gonna go with purple.
Purple, the color of nobleness and purpleness.
Eggplant.
Eggplant is a fine thing you eat.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
The color of Huntress and Prince's bedroom.
Purple.
Okay. Well, warriors, now that I've asked you the questions three, on the quest you must go. The castle is 3 days' ride from here, from the heart of this kingdom. You gather your belongings and make haste, not waste. For your mission is an important one, and you know this might be your only chance to rescue the fair princess, Harry Et.
Is that actually Batman?
Is this too much Hans Zimmer for you?
You ride.
You
are given horses by the kingdom. You ride through the land. Ride. You ride through the land.
Horses don't run that fast.
I have
you ride through the hills, through the forest. You pass nearby trolls and goblins who seek to stop your adventuring, but they can't because you're much too fast for them on your mighty horses. You pass lakes and rivers. You pass fairies and gnomes. They are all in awe of your great steeds.
It seems like we'd be able to do this on the back of a luck dragon instead.
The clouds are swirling in the background as you pass over the mountains. The camera is in a helicopter taking your picture as you ride forward.
from Michael Bay Presents Dungeons and Dragons.
You're walking so in slow motion as the trees explode behind you.
The digital artists have to draw out the helicopter shadow.
A digital editor is hired to take out the shadow of the helicopter, and then it is awesome and epic. And only then is it awesome and epic. But you continue your journey. A 3 days ride, you know it would be. Stop and rest? No. Eat something? No. Take rations with you? Never.
You have died of dysentery and for playing, cholera.
Playing D&D with rations and spell components and all these things just slow us down. Sleep? Waste of time. Go to the bathroom? Hell no. We shall get to the... We shall get to the Dark
Castle.
I'm
going to have a lot of editing to do on the show.
But finally, on the second day...
That was 2 days. That's like a week.
On the second day,
welcome. So Jerry gets killed.
Jerry dies from dysentery, much like the Oregon Trail.
Ouch!
And so you bury Jerry.
All right, Jerry's gotta go. So
who is very weary.
Thanks, Jerry.
I'm sorry, podcast friends. I have a very early day tomorrow.
I got work in the morning.
And now you sing an ode to Jerry.
I won't go to bed now. I got work in the morning.
Jerry. Jerry. He was hell of a guy. Jerry, Jerry, sorry that he had to die.
For dysentery.
For dysentery. Jerry Dysentery. That's your name, Jerry Dysentery. That's your character name. If you ever play D&D with us again, you have to reprise the role of Jerry Dysentery.
Well, he totally played D&D with us because he was Grand Moff Tarkin.
Oh, right.
And
yes,
he promised pudding.
No, that's not a thing.
Imperial
that's
pudding.
Never been a thing.
Imperial pudding.
Never been a thing. That's not real. It was a dream. Your illusion.
This is a nerd podcast, my friend.
It's a woman fantasy.
Women don't have fantasies.
It's just a fantasy.
Whoa. No?
Later,
nobody
man.
Else?
Everyone's too entranced at him weaving in and out the microphones and the cables.
Bye. Later, Gator.
Later, dude.
Bye.
And okay.
That's the sound of him really walking.
That's some excellent foley of you walking up the stairs.
We had to build a house, Richie had to buy it, and we had to put him in the basement.
What? Notice how much breathing and heavy breathing and slow moving.
He got really quiet all of a sudden. Okay, continue.
Where was I? Yes.
Can we take his corpse with us?
You've just buried Jerry Dysentery. In the ground, he was weary.
He wants to be a part of the quest, a la Weekend at Bernie's. No, no, pass. Sorry.
We buried Jerry Dysentery.
Sorry.
We've already buried him.
You are very buried, Jerry.
Nothing happened. Don't worry about that. 2 days into your quest into the forest of Mingningman. You come across a cart, a broken cart. It blocks your path. What do you want to do? You stop your horses, but linger for too long, and you might have another Jerry Dysentery moment. Adventurers, what do you wish to do?
All right, no problem. I go out and I try to push the cart out of the way. Oi! I'm having trouble here with my accent. Leave me alone.
Your accent keeps morphing.
It keeps changing. Whatever.
It hasn't been the same
Oi.
Since Jerry Dysentery died.
Oh,
it's
Jerry. You're kind of like English punk and then you're Australian.
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm in this. It's a new thing I'm trying. So I try to move it out of the way.
The mighty thief walks over to the cart and presses with all his strength. He tries to push.
Okay, so right now, Tony's giving me a... dice, a die with 20 sides on it.
Ooh, a classic 20-sided
it's
die.
It's a polyhedral, is that what they call it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a polyhedral.
And I get a roll, and if I roll high enough, I can budge this thing. So here we go.
Higher the better.
What did I roll?
You roll an 8.
Okay, that's not
that
very high.
That's terrible.
So, the thief, after about a minute of looking like a small little girl, tries to push the cart, but it is too heavy for him. The wizard and archer stand by. And just watch. Do you wish to do anything?
I wish to in
inspect the area, see if I find any footprints.
Evelyn, being the crafty wizard that she is, looks around the forest. Roll a check. 20 out of die.
So what's she rolling for now, Tony?
She's rolling a search check, and she has rolled a one. You turn to the right. You turn to the right and pull a Porky Pig or Daffy Duck when you slam your face into the tree.
Does my bill go backwards?
And you see nothing. Archer, what do you want to do?
We can't go around the cart, right?
No, it is impossible.
Okay,
horses can't travel through trees and bushes.
Why?
Everybody knows this in the Kingdom of Alice.
Okay, we don't have anything. We didn't stop at the bazaar. We'd have no explosives or...
No explosives or guns
not a Michael
or
Bay
beam
movie.
Rays.
Okay, I too will try and push the cart out of
the
way.
Ah, the archer comes to aid the thief. I will roll the die for you if you wish.
No, I'll get up.
Okay.
She doesn't trust you.
Who knows what I'll do with that die? She rolls a die. The die number is 8. No, 19. She comes over. And all of a sudden, the buzzing sound is heard.
Yeah, I'll loosen it up for you.
You move it to the side. But as you are sitting there, being glorious over your new feat of moving the cart to the side, you are being attacked by brigands.
No!
They jump out of the forest, three of them. They immediately go to work attacking you. They come out and stab you on the back.
No!
They go to the wizard who's staring at a tree. They slash her across the chest.
No!
Oh, and they go to the what happened with that? And they go to the archer. They throw a dagger right in her back.
Are we all dead?
No, you're all barely hurt. Thief, you've taken 5 damage, which hurts really badly. Evelyn, you've taken 3 damage.
Not so bad. It's all right. She can walk it off.
And Brandy, you've taken 4 damage, and you have a dagger sticking out your back. Now, you may go. Thief, what do you want to do? Battle music, please.
Can you describe the situation? Like, where are we standing in relation to them? Are they right on us?
Of course. You are on the path around... the cart would you have just moved. The path is about 10 feet wide, and the forests loom over the sides. The path goes north and south. 2 brigands from one side and 1 brigand from the other. You are completely surrounded.
Is there a way I can tumble past one and flank?
You can try. Because you are a thief, you do have that ability.
I'm going to tumble past one and try to flank with whoever's closest to me.
Okay. I will give you the roll with a slight minus. But go for it. You roll. A 14. Accepted. You roll to the side. You take out your weapon. Whoosh, and you get an attack in from the side. Roll damage. 5 damage. You're not very strong, but you run through for 5 damage. He is hurt badly. Ah! That was him.
So who am I flanking with?
Who are you flanking with?
Yeah.
No, you hit him from the side right now.
Okay, but once I'm in flank, who will I be flanking with?
It depends. If Anne-Marie goes over to that same guy.
Okay, okay.
Yes. Evelyn, what do you want to do?
I have a move and an action, right? So I'm going to make sure I'm in flank position.
Okay.
And I'm going to use my magic missile.
Ah. So you don't need to get close. You just need to fire the flank. Fire the magic missile.
My magic missile.
Okay.
Magic missile.
She fires a magic missile into the same man. Roll the damage.
I'm on to 4.
5 damage. He goes down. He hits the ground. He appears dead or unconscious.
May I shoot someone with an arrow as I am an archer?
Yes, you are an archer. You pull back an arrow, like Legolas, when you fire.
You can roll this one.
Okay. You fire, true, 16. The arrow goes into the side. He's hurt. The brigands look at each other. You can see they're a little bit worried about their attack. A morale check I roll, and they too. These guys are too tough. Let's get out of here. They run off.
Wow. That was cool, man. Nice job, Tony.
Yes, thank you.
I feel like we won that quest.
But I want to search the card.
I know.
No, we can't play anymore. This is a podcast.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's the general idea of D&D. Basically, Tony, you know, explains a scenario to us and we act like our characters. Some people don't do that. Some people just, they don't role play. which is fine. It's just a different style. And then we roll based on what our character can do. And, you know, it seems like pretty simple. And, like, why would you want to do this when you have a video game that has all the graphics for you? It takes care of all the game mechanics behind the scenes. But you do this because you can do things that you can't do in video games. Like, you can any solution you could think of to a problem, you could do.
It's not just A, B, C, or...
Right, right. It's not like, oh, you can kick,
X
you can,
and Y.
You know.
Oh, that's the thing. You can do anything you want. Also, it's completely up to you. Like, right now, we did something to show people what it is, but right. You could decide to do anything you want in the story, and it can go anywhere.
All right, so I think we've tortured people enough with our nerd stuff. I think we owe them a song. So going with our funny voices theme today, and we've done many, we're going to do this other song with a funny voice. I didn't teach the chords to Space Oddity. Maybe I'll put them online or something.
There's a bunch of chords.
Yeah, you know what? I'll write out a chart or something and post it with the show.
Take a picture of the wall.
Yeah. I haven't written on the wall right now. Okay, right now.
You have to plug in.
Oh, I got to plug my guitar.
You must have lost it while you were galloping away.
I was galloping. I lost my cable.
We had a battle.
We're going to do I Believe in the Thing Called Love by the Darkness. Yeah. I'm very excited about this. I used to play this a long time ago in a cover band. I haven't done it in a while.
Aww. Hit me with it.
Yeah.
Aw, hit me with it. Aw.
Okay. It goes all power chords. F sharp, A, B, 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 E, B, B, A, A, then a G sharp note that you can bend the fuck out of. Like that. So we have now G sharp note, then A, B, C sharp, E.
Look at this.
Play either E.
Oh, maybe you go down. I don't remember. That's the second time.
Okay.
So it goes, or alternate somehow. Now, A, A, G sharp, A, G sharp, F sharp, B. And now the pre-chorus is E major, F sharp minor. Again, then E sharp, E major, F sharp minor, A. I guess that's like a B flat diminished. B. Okay, now we have a riff. All right, that's E, F sharp, G sharp, A. So G sharp, E, F sharp, G sharp, A, B, C sharp, B. And I'm filling in with power chords, so it's
very, very scalable.
Yeah.
Like a dragon.
It's very bass-liney.
Yeah. Now we have a C sharp minor chord. D. And that's the whole song.
That is like a little bridge.
I think I remember the words. Who cares? Let's do this. It's freaking late. We had a gallop through the woods for 2 days.
Might have to make that D&D thing one separate.
Maybe. We'll see what happens. All right. Ready? Here we go.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank our guest, the amazing Tony Hansen. Yeah.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
That's Andy Escalise on bass and score today, scoring piano. Anne-Marie Castellano on acoustic guitar and vocals. Our audience member, Brandy Bataxis. Thank you, Brandy. And our Elvin Archer, or whatever.
Some other guy here that left.
Yeah, and Jared Pressman, who's here, sang before.
Jerry Disney.
Tony, please come back again and join our show, because
we have to continue our quest.
Yeah, we have to find out. What happens? Are we going to rescue the princess?
I have a lot more in store.
There's so many more funny songs out there, too, with funny accents.
Yeah, we just started them as we were doing the show. But anyway, thank you for listening to the Band Geek Podcast. I'm Richie Castellano. Check us out at riotcast.com. Hit me up on Twitter at @rich_ God damn it.
Without Muff, I can't do it.
@rich_Castellano and find me on Facebook, Richie Castellano. Send me questions, comments, song requests. All that stuff is good.
Download the Riotcast Network app. It'll be easy to listen to this. Yeah, the Riotcast
Network app.
It's on my phone.
Awesome. Okay, well, thanks a lot. Thanks for listening. See you next time.